The interesting guy, Brad Formosa, started this thing a couple of years ago just to try to make an impact on the idea of generosity, that we wanted to give things to other people for no other reason than to bless people. And so his website is called I Like Giving, and you'll see he's fill in the blank. The video I want to show you here in a moment is I Like the Military, or I Like the Veteran, so to see that. But let me just say, too, as we were singing the song, as the choir was singing the song, a mind comes back to me, a memory of a gentleman who used to sit here in a wheelchair, Bob Meese. And it's interesting that Bob's story, and I think we as a community need to value it. In fact, if you look in your worship program, there's an ad there, sort of a graphic for Richland Gives. I think it's there for this week. It's on the back, maybe. Richland Gives, we've actually, we're going to participate in that again this year, but the Richland County Foundation, it's a one day of giving after Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Giving Tuesday is, what is the date, December 5th? December 3rd, thank you, is a day where we all give together. And actually, the last couple years, we didn't participate last year, but in the years prior, we actually, because of people's generosity, we were able to leverage a relationship with the foundation. But here's Bob's story. Here he is, not even with us today, other than his memory, but his father was challenged by a guy by the name of Paul Tappan. Does that name ring a bell? Tappan, they used to make ovens and stoves and ranges and appliances. There we go, white goods. But anyhow, Paul was a very wealthy guy, and Bob Meese's dad was challenged with the responsibility of helping the Tappan family give away their money to set up a program. And so that's where the Richland County Foundation came. And then the Richland County Foundation in our community actually gives out about $7 million a year through scholarships and through generosity, through the Richland Gives. And part of it is to strategize with people to think about generosity in a moment, because sometimes we get lost in the midst of our own bills. But just check out this one particular story here, if you can, on I Like Giving Military. It's, I think it's interesting that here Bob's been gone for, 4 years, maybe five? But here's his legacy to us. The song that the choir sang was hymn that he wanted as his closing hymn for his celebration of life. Because he realized there was a weight to who he was, that even in his passing, he was sending a message to us. Don't miss this. Is that here I am, Lord. Just like he was faithful. And Bob's life was, he was a very successful businessman, but I know that he also served in the military. He when World War II happened, I forget the exact story, but he realized he had to go. And so he was in the middle of college, he left, and then he came back and he went on to Harvard, or no, he went to, I think it was a Westbury fan? I'll have to think about that for a second. But there was just this idea that he took this interruption in stride and did what he was supposed to do, which is an amazing gift to us, because then he, along with the legacy of his father, created this thing called the Richland County Foundation, which has over $170 million in assets currently. But $7 million seems like a lot, but when you think about the difference that we try to make in people's lives, even this gentleman's story here, of what it takes, but it's this idea, and the thread we're going to walk through these next couple weeks is this idea that when we give in to somebody else, we love on other people, there's something that comes from that. When we give up of our own interests, and it actually goes back to our, I guess maybe our church motto or our mission statement or our vision statement of we are going to love God and love others with no limits. And you know, what does that look like? So I want to just unpack a couple things. I mean, you know, this idea of I Like Giving is really this idea that I'm going to call this morning's message this idea of what it looks like, or maybe even what the face of generosity. And in a few moments, I'm going to invite some friends from our friends from Love, Inc. to come and share a little bit of their journey with us as we do our little piece. And even as Brenda arrived this morning, she had two amazing boxes for pasta pans. So they're in my office. So we'll have to get those downstairs. But here's the first thing I want you to understand. If you got your worship notes, you might want to get them out. The first point is that generosity is the heart of God. I mean, that's the thing we need to see. So the reason why we do what we do as a church, why we gather on Sunday, and then why we lean into the various things, whether it's children's ministry or next week, week after next, we're actually, some of our folks are going to help with the monument that's being erected on the front of the courthouse in honor of those that have given their their full measure, if you will. And the other things we do is a community of believers. And you all are doing your own individual things even outside the building, so you don't actually have to do it in the context of church to make an impact. But if you want to know what God is like, I want you to think of the idea of generous. He's amazingly generous. And do you want to know who he is? Well, I want you to think of the most givingest person you can think of and take that to the nth degree, because that's who God is. Whatever else you want to say about God, this God, the God of the book, the scriptures we read, the God of your heart, he is generous. And really, he is the most generous person in the universe. Now, it's interesting when you think about the story of this gentleman who, you know, he said that there were times where he actually prayed at night that he wouldn't wake up. Because if you think about your own story and the things that you experience, sometimes life is messy and sometimes life is complicated, and things that come at us complicate our vision of what we want to do. Even as a church, even as a faith community, the things we think we want to be part of and the things that we want to lean into. And so that's why, at least for the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to land on this idea of what does it mean to be generous? And I know for a fact that all of you in this room are generous. You're incredibly generous. But there's still work that needs to be done in the life of this church and in the faith community within Mansfield. So we're not off the hook yet, and there's still generosity. And so this is going to cost you something. So look at your neighbor and say, time, talent, and treasures, because that's really what we're talking about this morning. Now, it's interesting that we have to stop and pause about this, because whether it's you read the book of Genesis, we find out the creation of man and woman as they come into the earth, or if you go talk to a business person, sometimes you have to remind people 17, 18 times about some things before people really lean into what it's supposed to do. So this morning, I just want us to look at a couple scriptures and see how giving and generosity is embedded in the heart of God. And therefore, because we are created in his image, which could be a scary thought, we have a responsibility to reflect that generosity to those around us. But here's the first, we're going to look at this in just a little pieces here, this story from Matthew. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Now, this is talking about Jesus. The Pharisees went on to say, so they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, and they posed a question. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, but you aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Now, this is a question that Jesus sort of ponders, and it's actually, some philosophers would call this on the horn of a dilemma. If he says yes, then the holy people will say he is not godly. And if he says no, then it's high treason, and this is what he does. And so I want you to see this, because this is not baby-faced Jesus. This is not meek and mild Jesus. This is really Jesus in your face, this little story here. We really want to take a look at it. So he goes on to say, but Jesus, knowing their evil intent, which is like, wow, that's a kind of amazing way to start out. What does he say? He says, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? It replied, Caesar's. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed, and so they left him, and they went away. Now, what's interesting here is the inscription, that word there actually, in the original language, is the word that we get the word icon from. Now, what's an icon? Here's your part. What's an icon? An image, but what kind of an image? I mean, usually it's an image of weight, right? I mean, like sports icon or media icon or political icon. Do you follow me? So this idea that somehow it's set up as being something really, really important. And you got to remember that, again, through our sort of American eyes, we get lost in this when we read the scriptures. But you need to be reminded that, you know, Julius Caesar was God. I mean, literally, in their understanding, he was the Savior. And so here you have this tension between him and this idea of what Jesus is modeling. Because, you see, Jesus came and turned it all upside down. And if he did it then, he's doing it even with us today, because I'm not so sure that 2,000 plus years later that we still get it. Which gives me hope, because if they didn't get it and they walked with Jesus and I'm not getting it, I guess, you know, denseness is something that just runs in being human. But at the same time, it's this idea of what we're supposed to be as Christ followers. Now, in the same word, here's where this idea of icon, it's used in Genesis 1. And really, it's this idea that you are made in the image of God. That you, as a man or a woman, are created to reflect in all its glory, in all its beauty, God's holiness. And I know there are moments that we all think, I'm not very holy. There are moments like the gentleman, this veteran that we just saw in the video, where you don't think you have much to offer. Or it may be that the trauma that he went through, and that's probably part of it too, is just how messy it is and how complicated. So whose image is on this, Jesus asked. And he said, they say Caesar's. Whose name? Caesar's. And maybe Jesus went, fine, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's the only thing that he can put his image on. But give to God what is God's. Well, what is God? What is his image on? On everything. It's on you. It's on in a very particular way. He wants you. He wants your heart. And if he has your heart, he has your pennies. So it's about stewarding well. That, you know, anything that we own, really, we're just, whether it's a physical thing like our property or it's our children, that we only have them for a moment and we steward it well and we sort of wrestle with that, don't we? But what if one of those qualities was that we're supposed to be generous with our image? And so I know over the years I've been here, we've walked through different ways of looking at generosity. And so this morning I just want us to unpack a real serious thought about this. It really is in our DNA, and it's this next point. The generosity is not about what I have, it's about how I think. It's not about what I have, it's about what I think. And there's lots of stories about generosities in the scripture. I like the one that's the story of the kid, you know, where he brings his lunch, and there's about 5,000 people on the hillside, and this kid brings his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus does what with it? He multiplies it. That's just like crazy. Now, here's an interesting story. What do you suppose that kid said when he was a grandpa and his grandkids came to visit? What kind of stories do you suppose he told? You know, I can only picture where, you know, the grandchildren crawl up in his lap and they say, Grandpa, tell us that story again. Tell us that story about Jesus of Nazareth who fed 5,000 people with your lunch. I mean, that's just an incredible thing to be reminded of. You know, and even the question is that a true story? Grandpa, is that a true story? And sometimes we don't realize that the things we lean into as children prepare us for things that God's going to use in our senior years to sort of continue to bring glory to him. That's the craziest thing his grandchildren are going to say that I've ever heard. And yet, they'll probably say, don't change the story, Grandpa. Tell it again just like you did. And yet, at the same time, it's really what we do, get the opportunity to do when we lean into being generous with that little piece of the pie in our partnership with Love Inc. And so I'd like to invite Brenda and Kristen to come up, and we're just going to have a conversation here and see where it goes. So if you would, welcome them to the front here, and we'll say good morning. Grateful that you all found your way here. So Brenda is the director, and Kristen is the one that she answers the phone.
Yeah, I'm the clearinghouse coordinator.
So I'll start with Brenda first, if you can. Just talk a little bit about this idea of generosity, how you see it, and how our partnership with you, you know, leverages that idea of generosity.
So when you talked to me earlier about speaking on generosity, one of the verses that came to my mind was, do not lay up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where the moth nor rust can destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So some of the reading I did this week in preparation is just, you know, what effect does my giving have on heaven? So that really made me think. And it wasn't just about my treasure, but it was about time and talents. So I think sometimes we sell ourselves short. If we're short on cash, there's so much value to what you can still give, just like in the video presentation. It wasn't about the money. It was about time. It was about loving on someone and showing them who Christ was. But we do tend to put our money into things that matter for us. Randy Alcorn in The Treasure Principle, he talks about that he's convinced that the greatest detriment to giving is the illusion that the earth is our home. Sure. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So I really like that thought, because it is, if you're going to love somebody, you want to love them into heaven and tell them. And one of the stories that I read, it was about a lady who bought her carpet. She loved the carpet. She was so proud of her carpet. And you could think about, as fellas, if you bought a brand new car, you would love that car. You'd be passionate. You'd wash it. You'd clean it. You wouldn't let your little grandkids in with an ice cream cone on a 90-degree day.
Right.
You have passion. What if you're not enthusiastic about the kingdom of God, is it possible that you could change that by becoming more invested? Maybe if we invested first, the passion would follow. And then that's just a natural byproduct of investing in what's important to the kingdom of God. And for me, that's what Love Inc. does. It's going to be about bringing people, just like in the video, and sharing your time, your talent, your treasure to walk alongside them.
Right. So in your context as the director, what does that entail?
So for Love in the Name of Christ, if you had a homeless veteran come to your church and he said, you know, I'm trying to set up an apartment, can you help me? Our strategy is no one church can probably do that alone. So when we partner with the various churches, we're a shared ministry. So where Linden Road is able to prepare pots and pans and kitchen towels and things that go in the kitchen, we have other churches and they might do curtains, bedding. We have furniture. We have appliances. We have laundry supplies, food, personal care items. We have a free legal clinic. So as we go through all these hoops and each church is able to partner and be part of that sharing, we're able to help someone out. And how many people can touch that one homeless veteran through the course of getting him into an apartment or her? So we just want to be invested in their lives.
Great. Well, maybe, Kristen, you can talk about, so when the phone rings and you get the voicemails left, I mean, walk us through, because you run the clearinghouse part of it. So it's not just a handout.
No.
There's a process to it. And so, because I know that Nikki and I, for months now, years, you know, there's always days where there's a knock at our door and people are asking for help. And we point them to you, partly because if they're here to ask for cash for immediate need, it's like there's something that's going on in the background. So with that, just unpack a little bit of your role.
Well, first of all, it's like you said, it's not a hand up. It's not a handout. So what we are doing in the clearinghouse is we're asking the individuals that who come across, like yourself, to have them contact us, because that gives us an opportunity to find out their story. It isn't just, oh, okay, well, let's fulfill this need. We really want to find out, you know, what's going on in your life and, you know, how has this need come about? Because a lot of times that's all they want is just someone to talk to. And so during this time when they call in, we let them know that this is an emergency situation. And then we also tell them that it's an application process that we go through in order to help serving the churches and being able to serve them in a better way. And going through that application process, you know, we're asking general information, but we're also asking them, are they attending a church? And that is, to me, one of the greatest questions I can ask them, because it gives me that opportunity to let them know how important it is to be a part of a church family. And I don't think, and it's in my conversations with some of these individuals, even the ones that are disabled, don't realize that they can have people come to their home and talk to them about him. And they're unaware of that. And I mean, that was kind of surprising to me to hear those kind of conversations on the phone and to listen to them on the other end saying, wow, really? Someone would come to my house? Or if they're in a position to where they can't drive to church. To me, that's what's important about Love Inc. is opening that door to him and letting them know he loves them unconditionally. And, you know, that to me is a huge piece of giving. I mean, the other parts of the dishes and the cleaning supplies and the furniture is just an added addition to that part of giving. But being able to take the time to show them how much we love him and how much he loves them. And during the process of the application, you know, like I said, we go through the general information. We do ask financial, you know, where is their financial position? And then at the end of the application, we ask them, do you have a prayer request? And I have been there almost 5 years now, and I haven't had one person say they do not want prayer. each individual, whether or not they don't know what they want you to pray for, but if I ask them, is it okay I pray? There isn't one person that has ever said to me no. And to give that opportunity and, again, that giving, to hear them at the other end, I can't tell you how many times I've had tears on that other end and thanking me. And just, well, it's I thank him for giving me the opportunity to have those words in order to let them know how much he loves them. And, you know, I do tell them also at the end of the conversation, anytime they want a prayer, they can call them. And I just had a lady the other day, and I ended up calling her on a Friday afternoon. She said, I just need some prayer. And I called and talked to her. And, you know, that is a giving like no other, is being able just to pray with somebody, because it's giving them a strength that they never knew they could have because he's in their life.
I'm wondering if Brenda could unpack some of the new programs you're working on, because, again, it's the thing I love about Love Inc. is it's full orbed, so there's not just handout, but there's actually things that you're trying to develop.
So now that we have those gap ministries established with all the different giving churches and their participation, we look forward to trying to launch some transformational classes. And what that might look like is we want to make sure we can get people that are motivated to make a change in their life, to attend a class and learn about who they are in Christ. Because a lot of people, it's more, poverty is deeper than just a physical material need. You have relational issues, spiritual issues, emotional issues. And we want to have our Christian churches walk alongside people and let them know how valuable they are. Christ made them and they have value. So in order, when they would come to a class that we would hold, they would receive the incentives that they want. So what that might look like is we would have a checklist of cleaning products or food. So if you start attending the classes to learn about who you are in Christ, how to be hopeful, how to make a goal, you would get the opportunity to select some incentives. We would give that list to a church in the following week. That church would pack those incentives, and they would have it for that participant the next week. We saw some amazing stories when we went to Idaho. We had one gal. She got out of her laptop. She showed us a picture of her and her husband and her two little kids, and they were beautiful. And she said, you know, we got this picture taken because we were filing for divorce the next week. We're $80,000 worth in debt, and we've just given up. They were able to go through the Love in the Name of Christ program and figure out who they were in Christ, who they were as a couple. They were able to, each week when they received those incentives, use those dollars to then pay off their debt. So by the time they worked their way through the program, they saved their marriage, and they were able to be out. They were like $15,000 in debt then when they left, but they had a strategy, they had hope, and they learned that they can do it. And some of the transformation stories we heard were just quite amazing. And there was a lot of people in the church. We get calls from every person, every kind. We've had a call from a pastor, elderly people raising their grandkids, a girl that was rescued out of human trafficking. We have a lot of different people that need more than just stuff. We have to start engaging with them and meeting with them every week. And it's not about teaching, it's about listening.
Yeah, is there any questions you all have about the good work they're doing? Any thoughts? Do you have a story that you can tell?
Well, she had mentioned there was a woman we had the opportunity to speak at Healing Hearts and let them know, you know, what we did offer to, we call them neighbors. We do not call them clients. And after we had spoke, a woman approached us and said, if it wasn't for Love Inc., I would not be here right now. She had come out of human trafficking. She with just the clothes on her back and called 211, and 211 had referred her to us. She showed us pictures on her phone of the house that she is living in with all the furniture that we provided, the curtains we provided. She was so excited to share this, and now she is a counselor at Healing Hearts. And we gave, Love Inc. gave the opportunity to share his word with her, and gave her the confidence to be able to go on and realize she had and has a purpose. And those stories, to me, that's the hugest piece you can have of giving, is just being able to open those doors for these individuals to know they do have a purpose and value. Each and every one of us has a gift. And that's what we at Love, Inc. want to show them, that He is here for them, to let them realize the gift of beauty that they have inside.
That's right. Well, let me pray for us, and then thank you. But Jesus, again, we just pause and think about just the generosity that this community affords through the good work that Brenda and Kristen do on our behalf. Knowing that the need is greater than our ability to meet it, but yet the opportunities that you give to the organization, this agency, to get to know people at a whole different level. And then the little part that we actually play in the pots and pans. And so just thank you for just all of that. Thank you that we see you work, and we think of the story that Kristen just shared, and pray for that woman and her new season of life. And thank you for the hearts of Brenda and Kristen and the people they represent as part of the staff of Love, Inc. and the churches they represent, too, as we all work together to bring about just the hope of the gospel. And so we just thank you for the privilege. We thank you that you go before us, that you've given us this opportunity. And so help us just be more faithful in all that we can offer to each other. Jesus, we thank you for your love, and we just pray your blessing on these women as they continue to lead and make a difference in our community. We just ask in this blessed name. Again, all God's people sit together.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Would you say thank you again to them? Yeah, our pleasure. Yeah, it's and I love how, you know, that it's you know, even what we do locally, we sort of hand it off, and there's been several people that have sort of championed it for a while. But it's the fun that comes from it, too. But it reminds me of another story in Scripture I just want to just poke at for just a moment. Because I think what we do through Love, Inc., through our pots and pans, and the generosity that many of you have afforded over the years through that, but also the story out of Scripture that comes from the Gospel of Luke, where it comes in a lot of part of Luke, and so the heat's cranked up on Jesus' ministry. He's really going head to head with some of the religious leaders. And so it's interesting here, this story, and you all know it, but just for us to look at it again for a moment. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." So here's a widow hardly getting by who puts in a huge proportion of what she has to live on. And what's amazing to me is 2,000 years later, here we are talking about her. I think because of it's. Just, I think this is incredible. Now, we don't know her name, but I want us to think about each of us individually about that which we participate in, the things that we do, the things that we want to leverage if we. Because she's being lauded, this widow is being lauded as the metaphor, as the model for what God is looking for with each of us. And here's this no-name person who's being lifted up, and we are saying, look at that. It's not hard to give out of the wealth because I can give, and I won't feel it over here. But what about when I give out of what I don't have, essentially, or what cuts into the budget or cuts into my life? So here's a question. I've got it in your notes. What would happen if we saw giving not as an obligation, not as a law, not even as a biblical principle, but what if we just saw it as something to do that was fun? I mean, how would that change our perspective? See, when we are generous, when we catch people off guard with our giving, you know, there are people that we know that are misers, right? And people get that way because they're thinking wrong. It's not because they don't have money, it's because they're thinking wrong. And then remember I said earlier, it's about how you think about generosity. But when you think of yourself as a trustee, and maybe that's what you need to see first, that whatever you've been given as a trustee, that you're trusted to do it with it well, that your energy, your talents, your brain, your bucks, whatever it is, it changes how you do life. And so here's the third sort of point. The generosity, simply this, there is no law against it and there is no limit to it. No law against it and no limit to it. How about this law? Somebody say, wow, Harry got 20 years for life for what? He was too generous? I mean, seriously, when you think about how you can be generous. And I know that the tension comes that we're supposed to sort of hide our generosity, right? We're supposed to not really talk about it. But I think it's okay to champion it and to see the good work that people do. Or how about somebody who gives away his house? You can't do that. You say that sounds dumb. It does sound dumb. There's no law against being that generous, though. There's no law that says you have to be generous, but there is no limit to it. And I think those are the things we have to sort of wrestle through. See, when we focus too narrowly on dollars when we talk about giving, we miss the point. It's not about what you have as much as about how you think. And really, that's really the foundation of where I want to go over the next couple of weeks to sort of unpack it at an even deeper level. And then to sort of lean into the fourth point for this morning is that generosity is opposite of my nature. It's counterintuitive to be generous. Because, to be honest, your natural self, and I'm not saying anything I don't think anybody, especially if you're married, to know how selfish the other person is, right? I mean, it's always that kind of complication, right? I tend to want what I want in the way I want it, when I want it, and how I want it, right? That's the way we tend to be. You know, see, relationships die of selfishness. When a relationship goes south, it's because of what you want and not what you were doing for the other person. You say that marriage died of adultery. No, it died of selfishness, not adultery. Adultery is just one aspect. It's because our natural bent is to go for what I like, where I like it, how I like it. That's just how it is. And see, generosity presses back against that. Generosity actually, when you're generous, it fires up relationships. I think this might be a kind of fun experiment. Maybe in a couple of weeks we order pizza. I've done this when I was a youth pastor, where we actually invited everybody in the room. We said we're going to do a pizza party, and everybody took and put money in a bucket. And then we ordered pizza. And then when the pizza guy, in fact, we actually said to the pizza delivery company, we want you to send us the driver who needs the most help. And then what you do is this is an incredible thing, and it's just an amazing thing to see. And so when that person gets there, they're expecting just to drop off the pizza, but then you invite them into the conversation, and then you present them with a gift, partly just to sort of see their reaction, and they don't know what to do with it. And I can tell you, the couple times I've done that, the bill is five times, what we give them is five times more than what they're charging us for the pizza. And it's like, you want to do what for me? For why? It's like, no, we just want to be generous. We just want to be radically generous and love you with the radical nature of what God is. And I think sometimes when we think about that, and you all have seen stories on the news of the waitress that, all of a sudden she's got a $4, bill and she lays down. And I saw this last week, and the guy left a $996 tip. And she didn't know what to do with it. But he just said no. And then to talk to the restaurant establishment up in Cleveland, it's like this happens just sort of randomly throughout the course of the year. There's one guy in particular that comes in. Now, you don't have to give away $1,000 to feel that way, but I think it's those moments, or when you're at Starbucks or at Skyline, you pay for the person behind you. I know at Mansfield at one time had the record, if you will, of the number of pay forwards, where it went for a day and a half at Starbucks, where it just, every time somebody came in, they were paying for the person behind them. So it's that idea that when we get generous with our time and our talents and our treasures, it's not just money, it actually sort of cranks things up. Now, the idea of being stingy, that even sounds like a bad word, right? Maybe we should make it a cuss word even. Because no woman in her right mind, and so I'm talking to you ladies, right? You think about no woman in her right mind gets up in the morning and says, I would love to marry a guy, good looking, strapping, smart, stingy guy. I mean, right? Nobody thinks about that, right? When people get selfish and when they get small, they get stingy, and then everything dies around them. Their relationships die, and the impact is trying to make. So with that, just to sort of land the plane, generous people are like the most attractive, magnetic people in the world. I love being around generous people, and I've had the pleasure of being around some really interesting, wealthy people who are incredibly generous with their investment and other things. But here is even like this idea of Jesus, the most generous person in the book, who says to people, you need some food? And we see that played out a couple times in Scripture. Here's some fish and some bread. You need a whole body? Let me fix that. And so Jesus actually gives us his life. And so again, we see how generous he was. And then finally, that if you believe that, I guess this is the thing that I want us to see individually, is that I believe that the Jesus that you know that's in you actually wants you to be even more generous and wants to encourage you. And so Caesar can only put his face on his inscription, but you see, God has put his face on you. So it's like Jesus saying, you wanted some of this, come and get some of this. And so this idea that you actually have to give it away. But here's one other quick story to wrap up. And it's sort of a story that's been around for a while. There was a kid in the hood standing in front of a drugstore, and a guy pulls up in a fancy car, and he gets out and he clicks it and it locks, and the kid is standing there drooling over this car. And the guy sees it, and he and the kids say, "Nice car, man." The guy said, "Thank you very much." Then the kid said, "Where'd you get that car?" The guy said, "You probably won't believe me, but this is somebody actually gave it to me." "Who did that?" "My brother gave it to me." The kid looked at the man and looked at the car and looked back at the man, and he said, "Oh, wow, that's the kind of brother I'd like." And so it's in that context of what is it that God is asking you to give to other people, and to actually love him in that way with your time and your talents and treasures. And I know that sometimes there's a risk in that because it makes us like not sure that we got enough for ourselves. The promise I know from Scripture, and we're going to look at this in the next couple of weeks, is actually the more you give, the more he gives back. In fact, the wealthiest man I ever met, he told me about how in his life he kept trying to give money away, and every time he gave it away, God gave back more. And so I think that's the tension. So with that, Jesus came to model for us. And so I want us to sing, we sang the song last week, but I just think it sets up so beautifully our doxology and the fact that what God is offering us, salvation. So if you would stand, and the words will be on the screen, we'll sing together.